For those of you who may not have been here before or may be new, we started in January on Sunday nights a program we call Soldiers of Christ. And it's our desire through this program to help all of us to learn the Bible better. We spent January through May looking and studying at Genesis and Exodus. And Dan, are you getting that lizard over there? He didn't look too good when I saw him. Sorry, now everybody's looking at Dan McLeod picking up a dead lizard. We spent some time looking at Genesis and Exodus, and hopefully those who have been a part of it know those two books better than we did before. And we're going to start tonight looking at the rest of the books of Moses, which we hope to complete Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy by sometime in November. At least that's our goal. Lofty goal, but you have to have goals of some kind in order to reach them. We would encourage all of you to get involved in the program. I know that several of you said last week that you did not have field manuals. Those of you who are members here and may not have a field manual, if you want to raise your hand, how many field manuals are needed by members of this congregation? All right, Chet, you have a field manual. You lost it. I'm not asking if you lost your field manual, okay? If you have never had a field manual, we're not the delinquent people, but the people who've just never had an opportunity to lose it before, Chad will come and give you one, but he will not keep one for himself. He will go home and search diligently to find that which is lost, and then there will be great rejoicing. Now, who's visiting tonight? His mother what?
Why haven't you told me?
Just because you're a teenager doesn't mean you need to stop talking to your mother. Okay, who's visiting with us tonight that needs a copy of these cards?
Hey, Chad.
Chad, you got one up front. I think that's what 20 people are trying to tell you. Who's visiting tonight and does not? You got one. Who's visiting tonight? Gail, I thought you had one. Who's visiting tonight and needs a copy of what we're doing? And our Soldiers of Christ. Hi, Kinsley. Are you just waving at me?
David, you missed one.
Who did I miss?
That young man.
Me.
Oh. You got to get it up. I can't see. You're not visiting. You need more? How good are you at manufacturing things out of thin air? All right. Here's what... Another visitor? All right. This is... what do you got? What is this one? Where'd you get this? Oh, come on. Give that to John and Sue. All right, that's all I've got for tonight, all right? So now here's what I need. Chad, stand up. Grant.
Can I help you?
Yes. All right, here is the Leviticus through Deuteronomy prophet card. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but we'll go ahead and get it passed out so that you have it. Zechariah, you want to pass some out? You don't have to. I wouldn't if I were you, because these people are really weird. Yeah. You pass those out, Kip. Okay. Y'all just stick the, if you got a new packet tonight, Casey and Hannah, you've already got that card in your packet. But for all the old folks who already have a field manual, you will need this put in your field manual. We'll talk about this a little bit. What we're doing with Soldiers of Christ is we are breaking the books of the Bible down, trying to study them individually. We have different levels that are involved in this program, prophet, priest, and king level. And that's why, since we're starting Leviticus tonight, we are looking at the prophet card and some of the basic facts about Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What do you notice different, those of you who have received them? Chad, don't forget the three gentlemen sitting in the back right there. What do you notice different just about the card itself? The Genesis, the Leviticus through Deuteronomy card, different from Genesis through Exodus.
It's shorter.
Just one page. It's shorter. It's not a double card. It's a single card, two-sided. So what does that mean? It's easier. You can learn it. There are not as many facts and items to be learned in these books. And so these will be easier books for you to master, hopefully, and the priest and king card are the same way in this level. They're all just one card, front and back. I would encourage all of you that are involved in the program to go ahead and take, we're not going to have this quiz up for a while, but we have all of the other quizzes from Overview of the Bible and Genesis and Exodus. They're out in the Bible study corner, as well as they're online. We would encourage you to go ahead and take those. If you're senior high and older, then you can either take those written form or go online. If you're junior high and younger, we ask that you to go to one of the elders, and the elders will drill you really hard and see if you know them. If you want it easy, go to Greg. He's the easy one. Sorry, Greg. I probably shouldn't have let that one out. Junior high and under, go to them, and we'll have a Medal of Honor Sunday in a few months and deal with that. But stick this prophet card in your field manuals and to begin looking at it. Those of you who are new, don't think that you just have to start on Leviticus through Deuteronomy. Go ahead and go back and look at the overview of the Bible. Look at Genesis, Exodus. Try to master those as well and catch up with some of those and take quizzes whenever you can, and try to encourage everybody else to do the same. I'll just mention this really quickly. I hate to even talk about it, but we did ask January through May that if you are getting a field manual and involved with it, these do cost some money, and we're not trying to cover all of our costs, but if you can help out with about $10 to help some of these expenses that are involved here, that would be great, just so that we don't run out of opportunities and things to put in here. Okay, the book of Leviticus. You know what happens when you start reading through the Bible? You do really good in Genesis and Exodus. And then you get to Leviticus. And you're determined that you're going to make it through. You're determined you're going to do better than you did last time. And then what happens? You don't. Why? Why does that happen? Not for everybody, but why does it? Some of you are laughing and nodding, so either you're laughing at the person next to you because that happened to them, or it's happened to you. Why is that? Why does that happen with Leviticus? It's no longer stories. You can read stories all day long. Leviticus doesn't have stories. What does it have? Laws. You have, when you get to the book of Leviticus, God's laws about how His people are to worship Him, how they are to approach Him, and how they are to remain a holy people in His sight. And you have very few stories. You read about Nadab and Abihu. You read about the scapegoat, and it's not really a story, it's instruction, but you can still picture these things happening, and yet there's not that many stories. And so Leviticus is sometimes looked at as a boring book because it doesn't have all the stories. We don't know the book of Leviticus as well as we know Genesis and Exodus because we haven't read and studied as thoroughly the book of Leviticus as we have other books. But guess what? If you want to understand the New Testament fully, we need to have a better understanding of the book of Leviticus. If you want to have a better appreciation and understanding of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, guess which Old Testament book you need to have a good handle on? The book of Leviticus. It's a key book in the study of the Old Testament, and yet it's one that, it's sort of like the genealogies in Matthew chapter 1. We sort of skip over it sometimes so that we can get back to the stories or things that we like. Okay, book of Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, where does it fit? Yeah, go ahead, Gary, why not? Where does it fit in what we have been discussing and what we've been talking about in Soldiers of Christ? How does the book of Leviticus fit in? In the book of Genesis, what's the worst thing, the most horrible thing that happens in the book of Genesis? Sin. Where does sin come in the book of Genesis? Chapter 3. Sin comes into the world. Adam and Eve sin. They disobey God. From that moment in Genesis 3, for the rest of time, what is man's greatest need? To get rid of that sin. What does sin do? What does sin do for our relationship with God? Separates us from God, Isaiah 59. And it separates me from God. So as soon as sin came into the world, what did God say? Those of you who memorized, where does God tell us the first prophecy about the coming Christ? Where's that first prophecy?
Genesis
3:15. What does God say in Genesis 3:15? Yes, very good. Who's he talking to when he says this? Somebody. All right, we're getting close. Genesis 3:15. Chuck, who's he talking to? Talking to Satan. What does he say to Satan? I will put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her. Her what? What's a seed? What's that seed? Offspring. He shall bruise your head. Who's going to bruise Satan's head? Jesus. I don't see Jesus in that verse. I see he and I see seed. He is capitalized. Bingo. All right. We got to capitalize. It's got to be Jesus. Who's going to bruise Satan's head? Jesus. What's Satan going to do? Bruise his heel. We've got the first prophecy about Jesus. What else do we learn about this seed in the book of Genesis? When God in Genesis chapter 12 comes to a man by the name of Abram, he makes him three promises. You remember what they are? Great nation, great land, great Savior. Are you looking at your cards? Oh, you only have that? Oh, so she knew that off the top of her head. Great nation, great land, great Savior. Where does the great Savior promise come in? What promise does God make to Abraham about a great Savior? He says, through your all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Through your what?
Seed.
Seed, same word. And so in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul says, guess who that seed is, if you hadn't figured it out already? Christ. In the book of Genesis, sin comes into the world and God's people are condemned. You get to the book of Exodus. Where are God's people at the beginning of the book of Exodus? In Egypt. They having a good time down there? Laying out, getting suntans? They're slaves in the land of Egypt. What does God do? God delivers them from this bondage. God brings them out of the bondage that they are in Egypt. Brings them across the Red Sea. Brings them to Mount Sinai. Gives them the Ten Commandments. But what else happens at Mount Sinai? How long are they there at Mount Sinai?
A year.
A year. A lot happens in a year. Not only are they given Ten Commandments, they're given the entirety of this law, including the book of Leviticus. Book of Leviticus is given to God's people while they are there at Mount Sinai. In the book of Genesis, we see a nation, we see a people that are brought into sin. In the book of Exodus, we see a people that are redeemed by God. God brings them out of bondage and redeems his people. What happens in the very last chapter of the book of Exodus? Exodus chapter 40. Tabernacle. What about the tabernacle? It's built and it's erected. We have instructions in chapters 25 through 27. We have it being built in the 30s. And we have it erected in Exodus chapter 40. So they're sinning in Genesis. They're being delivered in Exodus. And here they are. They've got a tabernacle. And they're able to have this tabernacle, this building. What's a tabernacle?
Tent.
What did they do in this tent? What was its purpose? Tent of meeting. What? The awesome place and the most awesomest place. Is that what you said? It's pretty close. He's got a funny translation he's reading, but that's pretty close. So in this tabernacle is the holy place and the most holy place. What was the tabernacle supposed to do for God's people? What was it? It was a tent. Great, we've got a tent. Wonderful. We have a tent for the God's people. It was the dwelling place of God. When you get to the book of Leviticus, God tells them what to do with the tabernacle, but more specifically in the tabernacle. God tells his people how they are supposed to worship him when you read the book of Leviticus. You think God cares how he's worshiped? You read the book of Leviticus and you get an idea that God has some specific desires about how he is to be worshiped. We're going to, at least for this portion tonight, we may cover Leviticus or look at it in a glancing way, a little bit differently than we do Genesis and Exodus, because Genesis and Exodus are so story-oriented that we can talk about the stories and the facts of the stories. But when you get to Leviticus, obviously we've said that it's more about laws and regulations that are given. So I want to take the word Leviticus, and I want us to see the key words and the key ideas that we see in this book. And if you'll get these, how many are there? 9, I think, right? 9 letters? If you will get these 9 things about the book of Leviticus, you'll have the book of Leviticus. You'll understand it. You'll know it. And hopefully it will help you as you read through it. And we're going to have to do this quickly. The key word. Here's a book that has 27 chapters. What is it about? It's about God's people and how they are supposed to approach God. The first, depending on how you divide it, the first 16 chapters of this book tell God's people how they are to approach Him. And then the last chapters from 17 to 27 really tell how they are to maintain their relationship and their holy relationship with God. The key word, key concept, the key idea that is conveyed throughout this entire book is the idea of holiness. If you want to tie a word with the book of Leviticus in your mind, it needs to be the word holiness. What is holiness? What does that mean? What does it mean? Leviticus 19:2. Is that on this card? Is that a memory verse on this card? I think it is. Memory verse on this card. Leviticus 19:2. God says to His people what? You shall be holy. Why? For the Lord your God is holy. What does it mean to be holy? Set apart. Set apart from what? From the world? From sin? You be holy. Who's holy? If we read the book of Leviticus, we will come away with an appreciation for the holiness of God. That God is holy. Is God set apart? Yes. God is holy. And if I want to be acceptable to God, I too must become holy. And so we see described here in this book how a sinful people, and that's, I'm going to put that down here at the bottom, how a sinful people who started sinning in Genesis chapter 3 and have sinned every day since, how a sinful people, a vile people, a wicked people who are separating themselves from God by their sins and their actions, how can they possibly come to a holy God? If I have sin separating me from God, how can I become holy as He is holy and gain access to this God? I've got to become holy. You read the book of Leviticus and you see the seriousness of sin. You see just how wicked and evil God sees sin to be. So how did God's people then, and how do we today, take care of this sin problem so that we can become holy in the eyes of God? Chad, got a question for you. Did you think about this? Because I know you're kind of impetuous like Peter sometimes. How do you spell mud? Don't think too long, please. I'm running out of time.
It's not that hard.
M-U-D. But you put a question mark on the end of it. But yes, no. M-U-D, that is correct. Mud, is that right? Is he right? M-U-D? I don't know who knows how to spell. So Daniel, you're going to college. Here's your first test to see if you're going to make it into college. How do you spell, good word for you, dud? How do you spell dud? Yes. Like dud, yes.
Yeah.
D-U-D. D-U-D. So mud is M-U-D. Dud is D-U-D. How do you spell stud? That's not a good word for you, but how do you spell stud? S-T-U-D. How do you spell blood? No, you're wrong. It's B-L-U-D. It's the only way to fit it on here. Isn't the English language fun? We have mud. We have dud. We have stud. We have soap sud. We have all of it, and then we have blood. Of course, we have food, And we have, never mind. All right. How do we take care of the sin problem? Same way they took care of the sin problem then. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission. Was that true in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Yes. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Man's greatest need was to fix this sin problem so that he could be holy in the eyes of God. And the only way it could happen was through blood. Look at, you got your Bibles? Look in Leviticus 17. I think this is on another card. It might be on the priest or priest or king card. Leviticus chapter 17. This is another memory verse I think it's on the next card, the priest card. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. The life of the flesh is where? In the blood. How does somebody get life? How does somebody have their sins covered? Through blood. Does that make sense to you? That makes sense that blood will cover sins? No. But guess what? It doesn't matter if it makes sense to me. God told them. Now, where were they going to get this blood? What blood were they supposed to use to cover their sins? Animals. And so they were to offer sacrifices. Those first seven chapters talk about five different sacrifices that they were to make. I guess I just gave that away. First key fact on your card is what? Number of major sacrifices in the book of Leviticus?
Five
at the very beginning, first seven chapters. What are they? That's on another card. What are they? Burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering. Got that? Burnt grain, peace, sin, trespass. Got them, Rachel? Lock them in. Okay, so there's these sacrifices they're supposed to make. What are they supposed to sacrifice? Clean animals. What were other descriptions of these animals besides clean? Perfect, without blemish. A male. Say again. The best he had to offer. Tell me a definition of the word sacrifice. That for any age that would be used then or today. You use the word sacrifice. Give me a definition. What does that mean? You give something of value. If I've got a lamb that's got a broken leg and the wolf tore, half his face off or whatever. If I've got a lamb that's on its last leg, literally, and I offer that lamb, is that by definition a sacrifice? Have I given anything up of value? Is that the best I had? Nope. It was easy for me to do that. Didn't hurt me, didn't cost me a thing. In fact, worked out well for everybody involved. No. So, sacrifice was required. The only way that they could become holy in the eyes of God was to sacrifice. So were they supposed to offer the sacrifice? Was David Payne supposed to take his animal and walk up and sacrifice it for himself? Was Cain supposed to take his animal, walk up and sacrifice it for himself? No? Yes or no?
No.
No. Great. So now God tells me to sacrifice, but I can't do it. Who's supposed to do it?
The priests.
So you get to the book of Leviticus, and here is the sins that must be taken care of. They're taken care of by the blood, B-L-U-D, okay? They're taken care of by the blood. Where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the sacrifices that they were to offer. Who was to offer the sacrifice?
The priests.
What's the name of this book? Leviticus. That's the name that the Greeks gave to it. What does that word mean? Pertaining to the what tribe? The tribe of Judah, tribe of Issachar, tribe of Levi. Why the tribe of Levi? Why is there a whole book pertaining to the things of the Levites? Because God chose priests to be from the tribe of Levi. Why did he do that? I thought he was going to use the firstborn. They stood with Moses at the incident of the golden calf. So God chooses the Levites who are to be the priests. Who were chosen? Who was chosen? What family within, I'll ask you this way. What family within the Levites was chosen as the family among the Levites to be the priest? Aaron and his sons. So if I wanted to become holy, be ye holy as I am holy, if I wanted to become holy in the eyes of God and get rid of my sin, then I need to take a sacrifice, have this blood offered, and I need it offered by a priest. The priest acted as that mediator, that go-between. That was his job. His job was to keep God's people holy in the eyes of God. And so he offered the sacrifices for the people. Leviticus chapter 16. If there's a key chapter in this book, I'd pick chapter 16. It was the most holy day of all the year. Most important day, the most holy day that the Jews had on their calendar. What day was it?
Atonement.
The Day of Atonement. Why is atonement a key idea, concept, and word in this book?
Because it is.
Because it is. Great answer, Grant. That's awesome. It's important because it is. All right? Say again. It was needed and it was repeated. Good. It was needed. What is atonement? What does that mean? To atone. These guys are brilliant. What?
Sacrifice for the people.
Okay. Here's the high priest. Remember the awesome place and the most awesome place? How often could they go into the most awesome place? What day? Day of Atonement. Who could go in there? High priest. Anybody with him? No. No way. Just the high priest goes in there once a year. Who did he offer a sacrifice for before he offered a sacrifice for the people? He had to take care of his sins. Had to take care of his sins and his family's sins before he could take care of anybody else's sins. And then he offered a sacrifice for the people. On that day, and on the Day of Atonement, every year that sacrifice was made and their sins were covered over. Atoning means that a covering, that they were covered over. We use terminology, kind of accommodative terminology today, where we say that God rolled their sins back. What does that mean? Well, that means that a year from that day, God pulled the covers back to see what was under. Oh, yeah, the sins, they're still under there. So on the Day of Atonement, the next year, what did they do? Put another cover on it. But the next year, they pulled the cover back. Guess it's still there. Why are the sins still under there? Because Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. Hebrews 10 and verse 4, what does it say? The blood of bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats cannot do what? Take away sin. What could it do? It could. Why did they need it covered? Because they needed to be holy in the eyes of God. And with that sin, they're separated from God. But the blood of bulls and goats wouldn't take it away. What did take it away? What does take our sin away? The blood of Jesus washes our sins away. And it washed their sins away when he died on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. So here's their atonement that they have to have. The holiest day of all the year. That their sins must be covered. And so Hebrews chapter 10, those first three verses say that that priest came every year. And he offered those sacrifices year after year, continually. And yet they couldn't take away sin. But they did for those people exactly what they needed. It gave them the atonement that they needed so that they could be right in the eyes of God so that they could worship God. The book of Leviticus gives the laws for God's people and how they were to worship Him and how this tabernacle that they had got instructions for and built in the book of Leviticus or book of Exodus, how they were to use that in worship to God. And so here's all of these laws, first, especially the first 15 chapters or so. They give these laws about how man is to approach a holy God in worship. Does God care how we worship? Ask Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. Look in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Real quick. We've only got a couple minutes left. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 tell us, those two verses tell us about Nadab and Abihu's sin, tell us how they offered unauthorized fire or profane fire before the Lord. Look at what verse 3 says. Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me." When do people come near to God? When those people come to worship me. The word offering means to draw near. Here they are coming to God. By those who come near to me to worship, I must be regarded as holy. You come before me to worship. You don't do what you want to do. You come before me to worship. You regard God as holy. I want to be, or I should be, or I would like to be. I must be regarded as holy. Does God care how he is worshipped? Did he care how he was worshipped in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does he care how he's worshipped in Leviticus chapter 10? Does he care how he's worshipped in 1 Samuel 15 with Saul? Does he care how he's worshipped in Matthew chapter 15 with those Pharisees offering vain worship? Yeah, he cares. So if we want to be holy in the eyes of God, then we need to worship God in the way that he has given us in the New Testament. But Leviticus is not just about worship. A good portion of it is. But remember this. Book of Leviticus is divided. First part of the book says, here's how a sinful people, here's how people can approach a holy God. The last part of the book talks about, here's how these people can maintain that relationship with God. They need to be able to approach the holy God, and then they need to be able to maintain that relationship through service to him. So it talks about the priests and their service, but it's not just the priests and their service. There's more to this book than just worship. There's in this book things about our daily life. It's in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, is it not, Darren and Bobo? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. What does that verse say? Is that about worship? Not really. What does it say? Do you remember? What does it say? What is homosexuality? Man lying with man is a what? An abomination. Does that talk about our relationship with God and how we are to maintain a holy relationship with God? Not just how can I come before him, how can I maintain and serve him acceptably? So if I can have my sins covered over and I'm able to come and worship and serve God, there's only one thing left for me to be holy in the eyes of God. And I had struggled with several words here. But the word that is used repeatedly in the book of Leviticus is this idea of consecration. Is this command given to them to consecrate themselves? Did you see it? In the scripture reading tonight, Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. How can man, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, how can I become holy? In order to become holy, I must consecrate myself. Does that sound painful? I mean, what does that mean? What does it mean to consecrate yourself? To commit yourself. To dedicate, devote yourself fully, 100%, give yourself over to the Lord. And when you do that, God says, you will be holy, just like I am holy. The other word I was going to put here was another made-up word, like blood, B-L-U-D, was the word pure, P-U-R-E-ification. But I didn't think you would like that because that would be misspelled too. But the idea of consecration is the idea that I commit myself to purity. And that's found throughout the book. Purity. Not just of my outside actions, but purity of heart before God in order to be holy in his sight. If you can grab those nine words and those nine concepts, you've got the book of Leviticus. Now, we're going to talk more in detail about some of the things that happen in the book, but here, this is an overview. That if I want to understand this book that sometimes I skip over in my reading, or sometimes I get bogged down in my reading, or sometimes I just give up in my reading, here's a book that says if you want to be acceptable to God, you've got to be holy because He's holy. How do I become holy? I've got to take care of my sin problem. How do I take care of my sin problem today? The blood of bulls and goats? Nope. Blood of Jesus. Do I offer sacrifices of beasts, animals? No. I offer a living sacrifice. I offer myself. Sacrifice myself to God. Do I, at the same time, go to a priest like they did in the Old Testament? Do I have to go through someone else in order to worship God? Do you need to go to a priest on this earth in order to worship God? As a Christian, you are a priest. God has built us into a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. As a Christian, you do not have to go to someone else in order for your worship to go to God. You worship God directly. Now, who is our mediator? 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. There's one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. Interesting study to look at the idea of a mediator and an intercessor and an advocate and all those words that are used about Jesus. But I don't have to go to a priest anymore because I'm a priest. Can I have atonement today like they did in the Old Testament? I can have it even better. Can my sins be covered over in the eyes of God? Well, yeah, but even better. They can be washed away because you can take that cover away and they're not there anymore because they've been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And when my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus, I am a holy creature who can worship a holy God in the holy ways that He's given us in the New Testament. But being a Christian is not just about worship, is it? Are there some who think, well, being a Christian means I go to church? Misconception, isn't it? I just go to church on Sunday and that makes me good in the eyes of God. Christians are the church. And the church's responsibility on the first day of the week is to worship Him. What's the church's responsibility the rest of the week? To serve Him. Serve Him acceptably. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Last verse I want us to talk about, and then we're going to go to our Cornerstone group meetings. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. The Bible says, pursue peace. And pursue what else? Holiness. Good job, Chad. Pursue peace and holiness. Why? Without such, no man can see God. If I do not pursue holiness, is be ye holy as I am holy, is that just an Old Testament verse, an Old Testament concept? No. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. What does Peter quote? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. Peter says to Christians, be holy as I am holy. If I want to see God, Hebrews 12, 14, without which no man can see God. If I want to see God, what do I have to pursue? Think about that word. That word doesn't just say be holy. That's true, I have to be holy. But what's the verb that's used here? Pursue it. Hunt it down. Grab a hold of it, chase after it with all you've got to be holy in the eyes of God so that you can see God, be with Him eternally. Dan will be back next week and continue this. If you're missing any cards for your field manual, please let me know that. Hopefully you have a better idea of the book of Leviticus.